Editor Leaney was the city editor. I forget his name. He was another.
Good afternoon.
My name is Alwyn Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the commission's regular meeting of March 13th, 2024. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda, currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who will be listening to the meeting by telephone, I will take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry. Mr. Einhorn.
Here.
Mr. Farish.
Here.
Mr. Fizeshi.
Here.
Mr. Goolsbee.
Here.
Mr. Ganswin. Mr. Hankins.
Here.
Mr. Streeter.
Here.
And myself, Chairman Alwyn Egan, present. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission regular meeting of February 28, 2024. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the commission's regular meeting minutes of February 28, 2024 for adoption.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fizeshi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Alwyn Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when we call, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. So first is docket number FIC 2023-0118, Gregory Johnson versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al.
Hello, the complainant is not present. He did not wish to be heard, and I would just urge adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Okay. Just identify yourself.
I apologize. Attorney Jennifer Lepore from this office.
Thank you, Attorney Lepore. Gregory Johnson, are you there? Okay. No, Mr. Johnson is not here, as represented by Attorney Lepore. I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, seeing that the complainant is not here and there's no objection to the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hackett, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Mr. Fizeshi.
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Alwyn Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. You here for more?
Just going to listen for a bit.
Okay. Docket number FIC 2023-0168, Richard Quint versus Director, State of Connecticut, Judicial Review Council, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, this is Attorney General Alwyn Egan on behalf of this.
Okay, two people were talking, but I did hear on the phone Richard Quint is here, and then counsel, could you identify yourself, please?
Yes, Assistant Attorney General Alwyn Egan on behalf of this.
I'll spell your name.
A-L-M-A.
Yeah.
N-U-N-L-E-Y.
Thank you. So we're going to mark that ready. Thank you. Docket number, calling docket number FIC 2023-0109, Nicholas Tella versus Erica Winseski, First Selectman, Board of Selectmen, Town of Willington, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Would you like to be heard, sir?
Yes, please.
Okay. Is there anyone here from the Town of Willington? Do you still wish to be heard?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. Mark that ready.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0142, John DeLorio versus Banking Committee, State of Connecticut General Assembly. Is anyone here on that matter?
Chairman, that one was marked off just before the meeting.
Okay.
Nobody is here.
Thank you.
It's going forward.
All right, we'll mark that off. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0169, Addy Gordon and Anita Arakilian versus Superintendent of Schools, West Hartford Public Schools, et al. I am from West Hartford. I'm the probate judge there. I served on the council. I don't know if you need to recuse me. I believe I can sit on this matter and be objective, but if either party would like me to recuse myself, I'm happy to do so. And who are you? And who are you?
Julie Resnick, Attorney Resnick on behalf of the respondents.
Attorney Julie Resnick, okay.
Complainant Tati Norton, and I ask that you recuse yourself.
Okay. Can I mark this ready, Colleen, and recuse myself? All right, so I will recuse myself when the matter comes before us. All right, next is docket number FIC 2023-0180, Joe Quaranta versus First Selectman, Board of Selectmen, Town of Roxbury et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, I'm Gail McTaggart on behalf of the town, the respondent.
Are you an attorney?
I am.
McTaggart?
McTaggart, McTaggart.
Thank you. Is Joe Quaranta there, please?
I do not see him here unless he's on the phone.
Mr. Quaranta, calling Joe Quaranta. Would you like us to just act on this matter, counsel?
Yes.
Then we'll do so. Entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal, seeing the complainant's not here and there's no objection to the respondent, move adoption of the House report.
Mr. Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Parrish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, all in Eden, yes. Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
So next, we've got the same gentleman, docket number FIC 2023-0209, Joe Quaranta versus Chairman, Board of Finance, Town of Roxbury et al. Is Joe Quaranta here?
I do not see him, Your Honor, and Mr. Commissioner. And also, I am Gail McTaggart, representing the respondents.
Would you like to be heard, or would you like us to act on this?
I'd like you to act, please.
Is Joe Quaranta here? And I entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. As in the previous case, this was dismissed, seeing that the complainant's not here and there's no objection to the respondent. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fuseschi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, all in Eden, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0211, Adam Osmond versus Public Records Administrator, State of Connecticut, Office of Public Records Administrator et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
That one also was marked off, Mr. Chairman.
It's off? Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0219, Joe Quaranta versus First Selectman, Board of Selectmen, Town of Roxbury et al. Calling Joe Quaranta again. Council?
Attorney Gail McTaggart representing the respondents.
Thank you. I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, this is a dismissal. The complaint is not here, but there's no objection to the respondent, so I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Mr. Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fuseschi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, all in Eden, yes. Passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. Have a great day. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0387, Jennifer Pardis versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Social Services et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Here. Jennifer Pardis.
Okay. Is there anyone here from the State of Connecticut? Attorney Michael Slitt.
Yes.
Would you both like to be heard on this matter?
Yes.
We'll mark that ready. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
On docket number 2023-0109,
you should have spoken up earlier. The new first selectman of Wellington is a close personal friend of mine. I think I could be impartial, but would you like me to recuse myself?
So that's 2023-0109, Nicholas Tella versus Erica Wynsaski, first select woman, board of select men, town of Wellington et al. And I think Commissioner Farish is saying she will recuse herself if someone would like her to recuse herself.
I'm not asking for you to. I'm fine.
And you are?
Nicholas.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody from the town? No one from the town here. Okay. All right. So before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcements.
Sure. As indicated by the chairman at the beginning of the meeting, these proceedings are being recorded in their entirety, so there's no need to ask for a recording. It should be available on our website very soon after the meeting. Anyone has any issues with that, please let us know and we'll make sure you get access to it. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral arguments, 10 minutes per side. I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. Calling FIC 2023-0168, Richard Quint versus Director, State of Connecticut, Judicial Review Council.
Here.
1 second, Mr. Quint. Okay. So just identify yourself for the record, counsel.
Assistant Attorney General Alma Nunley for the respondents.
Okay. And you're there, Mr. Quint, correct?
Yes, Mr. Richard R. Quint, yes.
Okay. Why don't you begin, Mr. Quint, please?
I filed a complaint against Judge Hall for a criminal case against me in Milford or Derby Court at the time. He violated the rules of conduct. I submitted it to the Judicial Review Council, everything else. They came back with a ruling finding that he didn't violate the code of conduct. When what I submitted clearly shows that he did. I was just looking for the minutes of the meeting that they had that they conducted to dispose of the my complaint against Judge Hall. The statute states something about the investigation to find whatever like this is not disposable. I wasn't looking for the investigation. I was just looking for the basis in law that they denied my motion or denied my complaint against Judge Hall. And the minutes of the Judicial Review Council's hearing. Now, if I was not incarcerated, would I be able to go to the hearing to present my case? Is another question I have. This is why I don't know why I didn't have a hearing on this. Because there's other issues that would have been better off brought up at a regular FOI hearing prior to this or whatever, make the determination. Rather than the states moving on their motion to dismiss, saying it's not statutorily disposable. Because if I'm allowed to go to the hearing to present the case to the hearing, if I wasn't incarcerated, I would have all the information that I am looking for. So, Mike, how can it not be disclosable to me?
All right. Is that it, sir?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so just so you understand, we don't answer questions, but we entertain argument, so we'll accept your argument, and now we're going to hear from your opponent. So, counsel.
Yes, just very briefly. First, as just a point of clarity, the request that's subject to this FOI complaint is related to judges who are not Judge Hall. This is related to Judge Jones and Judge Newsom. However, to the extent that there are any responsive records, which we do not confirm or deny, those records would be exempt for disclosure under 5151L in their entirety. Absent a probable cause finding, which was not the case here.
Okay. 51-L states that investigation.
Sir, hold on a second. Yeah. Do any of the anybody on the commission have any questions? Anybody? No.
Okay, Mr. Cooper.
Is it 51A or 51L?
51L subsection A.
Thank you. That's an L. Okay, not 51. Right, got it. Thank you. Mr. Quint, you had something to add?
Yeah, so 51L says about the investigation to preclude it. Now, at the hearing, my argument is, again, if I was not incarcerated, would I be able to go to the hearing, the Judicial Review Council hearing, and present my case against Judge Newsom and Judge Jones? I apologize, I filed a complaint against Judge Hall also. Because Judge Newsom clearly,
So we deal with your records request, sir?
Yes, my records.
You're asking nothing in the statute
other than the investigation, it states other than the investigation itself into the cause is exempt. What I wanted was the minutes from the hearing, from that they made the decision on my complaint against Judge Newsom and Judge Jones. I don't want the investigation, I don't want nothing else. I want the minutes from the hearing. If I wasn't incarcerated, would I be able to go? Well, you don't answer questions. Would I be able to go to the hearing? Because if I was able to go to the hearing, that would be is the hearing open to the public on the Judicial Review Council on the dates they have these hearings to make their decisions? Are they open to the public? Because if they're open to the public, they do fall underneath the Freedom of Information Commission. Because, you know, it's like, here, I want to know I want to know what the minutes are and how they came to this conclusion.
Okay. Counsel, do you have a response?
Just very briefly, that hearings are public after there has been a finding of probable cause, not before. So the public would not be able to be in any portion of a meeting in which the Judicial Review Council discussed a investigation prior to that finding.
Okay, sir.
Not really, but I don't think the statute just says the investigation is not disclosable. Would I be able to I'm the one who's bringing the complaint against the judge. I should be able to present my complaint against the judge, right? You know what I mean? So if I was present to bring my complaint against the judge, I would be at the hearing to present my evidence and everything else, so I'd have the information I'm looking for. You know, if I was able to prosecute the complaints.
Counsel, do you?
Yes, just very briefly. Even though there is a complainant and a judge who are the subject of a complaint, it's not an adversarial process. The intention of the process is to determine whether there's been misconduct and take necessary steps if that's required. So the complainants don't have the same rights that, say, somebody in court would have to be present, or even the FOI commission during a hearing.
Hold on a second, sir.
I'm a little confused. Sometimes I get confused in complicated matters. So I understand the distinction between a probable cause hearing and a later. I also understood you to say that probable cause hearing is not an open hearing. But I'm a little confused. Would the person that brought the complaint be able to attend the probable cause hearing?
Well, to be clear, it's not a hearing.
Okay.
They conduct an investigation and then they make a determination, which is not...
They being?
The Judicial Review Council. The council isn't necessarily putting on witnesses to do that. They just...
So there is a Judicial Council proceeding of some type, either written or oral.
Yes.
And that is subject to note, that is not open.
Well, the portions in which they're discussing things that are confidential by statute would be in executive session and not open, because the statute expressly says that information is confidential.
Not open to the complainant?
I don't have a great answer for that, because
I'm just a little confused.
Complainants make complaints, but then the Judicial Review Council has its own process. And I'm not entirely
to be perfectly frank, certain what happens in every one of those processes. But it's certainly not a public, open public discussion. It may depend on what the Judicial Review Council thinks is necessary to make its determination.
Right. I just get confused a little bit sometimes. I'm trying to get to where we get to the word investigations in this process, which is what's used in the statute.
Well, the investigation, you have the investigation and then the determination whether or not there's probable cause, and that's the culmination of the investigation. If the determination was a public...
investigation, quote unquote, begins when the complaint is discussed by Judicial Council?
Well, the investigation begins when they receive the complaint from the complainant. And then take steps. At that point, there may be additional information that they need from the complainant. But that's much earlier. It's not like this is just a single hearing where they're listening to information. There is an investigation prior to that.
Yeah, this is the statute of the investigation, not the school.
Sir, yeah, you can ask to speak, but you can't just. This isn't a discussion. Thank you.
I may be stuck, but I saw the statute, and we have an excellent hearing officer. But it all turns on this word investigation a little bit to me, and I'm confused. Where do we begin? Where does that investigation begin? I hear you arguing the investigation begins, period.
Well, yes.
From the moment it starts, as covered here.
I'm not that intimately familiar with the process, but I believe that when a complaint is filed, that would initiate an investigation of sorts. And I would imagine that the investigation occurs sort of outside of a meeting of the Judicial Review Council that somebody's probably assigned to figure out what do we need to look at here. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's talk to the complainant. Maybe it's talk to witnesses who were there. So I think that whole process isn't subject to FOI. It becomes subject to FOI if and when there's a probable cause determination. So everything leading up to that is not.
Okay. I understand that borderline. I understand that concept.
Hang on one second. Anything further?
No, I now, in my mind, I've got the concept understood.
It's almost like the state of Connecticut is prosecuting a crime. And the individual who complains is a witness. They complain and it initiates the process, and then the state would call their witnesses as they need them. Is it similar to that, counsel?
Yes. It may be less formal than that in this point because they're gathering information over a period of time, but yes.
And they're determining if the probable cause hearing, whether the claim has any merit, because there are many meritless claims filed against judges who make decisions, and they make them all the time.
Yes.
And so people complain when they lose.
Yes.
And they, not that Mr. Quint did that. I'm just saying that happens. So
well,
they have, not that Mr. Quint did that. I'm just saying it happens. So they try and weed out what is probably just a complaining person who doesn't like their decision versus somebody who's got a legitimate issue that was raised at the hearing with the judge.
Yes. Was a hearing held in this case?
That would be, there was no post-probable cause hearing.
That's what I'm saying. So after the preliminary investigation that you've just been talking about, then they have to decide if probable cause exists. And if it does, then they hold a hearing. And what you're saying is the commission decided that there was no probable cause and therefore no hearing.
To the extent that there was complaints against the two judges subject to it, there was not a probable cause determination.
And therefore no hearing.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
And counsel, if there was a hearing and the matter was dismissed, then that information would not be...
Well, if there was a meeting where a determination was made, I think it's helpful to distinguish the meeting, the determination that there's no probable cause or probable cause, and a hearing which would be more of a formal presentation of a case and evidence, and the judge has some rights in that instance for counsel and things like that.
But is that, if the judge doesn't want that information disclosed, if the matter's dismissed, then is it disclosable?
If there's no finding of probable cause?
No, if there's a finding of probable cause and it goes to a hearing, and then there's a decision they dismiss it at the hearing level. Is that information FOIable?
I believe that those would be public records at that point.
Okay. But it's got to get over the first, and the statute says, you got to get over the first hurdle first, which is they do their preliminary investigation before it goes to a hearing. And the preliminary investigation is exempt from FOI. Yeah, that it's statute says it shall be confidential.
Mr. Quint, you've been very patient. Thank you.
Yes, but the preliminary investigations, okay, now, if I say that the judge violated a certain standard, rules of conduct, like this, and I send in the transcripts, I send in everything to support my complaint, which is correct, and then they come up with a decision going against the law, which they did, how do what, the judges are exempt? I know they're exempt for a lot of different things, but they have to follow the rules of conduct too, just like an attorney or whatever else like this. You know, I just want to know where the basis in the law was that they found denials of the complaint that I filed against Judge Newsom. The complaint that I filed against him was very legitimate.
Can I answer that?
Sure.
Mr. Quint, it's Commissioner Einhorn. The judges are subject to rules, but those rules are either codified or somehow made rules in other ways. In this case, in the case that you're involved in, there's...
Time out.
In this case, there's a statute exactly on point. And what the statute says is that first thing they do is they investigate. So you send them the transcripts, whatever you send them, they investigate, and the statute says that the investigation as to whether or not there's probable cause shall be confidential, meaning that following the rules, whatever you sent and whatever they decide is confidential. If they decide that there's probable cause, it goes to a hearing at that point. This case never went that far. So
I know. That's why I'm trying to find out why it didn't. What's going on? There has to be some other type of appeal or something else I can do.
Your argument is...
Because if I violate the law, I have to... I'm in jail. You know what I mean? If a judge violates the law, which it can, it's a code of judicial conduct. You know what I mean? If I say that specific canon, which is the judicial rules of conduct, you did not do this. You did not uphold the integrity of the court. You did not uphold this by doing such and such act. Okay? And I give the act. I give the transcripts to support the act. Okay? And then you don't find probable cause. How am I supposed to justify this in my mind? The statute says one thing. The judicial code of conduct says another thing. You know what I mean? And if you're not following the judicial code of conduct, you're not upholding the integrity of the courtroom.
Mr. Quint, that's the conduct, the code of judicial conduct and the statute are not inconsistent. The statute tells them first they got to investigate. They already found that it didn't violate the code of judicial conduct, meaning that it ends there.
Who does the investigations? Other judges? That'd be my buddy's here. Oh, they're gonna investigate me, so I ain't gotta worry about it.
So, Mr. Quint, I think we've gone a bit in circles, and not to take away your time, but I think the other commissioner, this is Commissioner Goldsby speaking. I think they're just trying to let you know. I don't think there's any dispute that this is information that would probably be helpful to you. If I was in your position, I would want to know why somebody made a decision. But based off of where we are today and the authority that we have, hold on a second.
Question comes down to if I was not incarcerated.
Yep.
Have I been able to attend any of these hearings?
Right. And what counsel is saying is that information is not disclosable. So basically, the answer to your question is no. So that's why the result was what it was.
The statute. I'm out here. I don't have the copy of the statute with me because I didn't realize it was the 13th night. Because I have the complete statute, Section 51 with the Judicial Review Council in the cell. And then what I read is only the investigation part that's exempt. Everything else is, you know what I mean? Now, if I was not incarcerated, I don't see it. I'm the one who's bringing the complaint. It's not the state bringing the complaint against the judge. It's me bringing the complaint against the judge. I should have the right to be able to bring my complaints to the hearing, to, you know what I mean, to state what I'm stating to, was a violation of conduct.
Yes.
So, and what I have to support my violation of conduct, you know what I mean? And if I'm able to do that at the hearing, I would have the, you understand where I'm coming from? The information I'm looking for would have been available to me.
That's correct, Mr. Quinn. This is Commissioner Goldsby again. And what we're saying is it didn't get to that point. So your opportunity to be heard in that case was a complaint that you sent in. They looked at the information that you provided in that complaint, and they did an investigation. That means they did research. They looked into things. They talked to people, and they made a decision.
Sir, I'm going to stop it at this point. That is the law.
Okay, that's fine. I'll appeal to it. Was Bristol Court appeal to?
Okay. I'm not sure what you're appealing. If you're appealing our decision, we haven't rendered a decision yet.
Okay, well, you can do the decision first before I appeal it.
Then you can.
Because I want to know, I'm just getting frustrated.
I understand. I understand. Thank you.
Commissioner Strader, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you, counsel. Thank you. Okay. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0109. Nicholas Telly versus Erica Linseski, First Select Woman, Board of Select Men, Town of Wellington, et al. There, please. Just identify yourself for the record.
Nicholas Telly, complaint.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to call out again. Is anyone here from the Town of Wellington? All right, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Commission, for having me here. If I could read some remarks.
Sure.
So I appreciate the decision that was made to have the First Selectman woman and Board of Selectmen to release such requests, as noted in the letter that I received. I do object that the remaining entities, agencies, to not being held to the requested FOIA request. It was a time after I had handed in a FOIA request to then Erica, First Select Woman. That had nothing to do with the Board of Selectmen, and we got into a little confrontation, but she said ultimately that she was going to hand it to the Board of Education and that there was no need for me to even go down there. So if that was such operations then, and there was no change to any policies, that should have been the same operation prior to. I understand that there was reference to a Bridgeport hearing, Cook versus Bridgeport, saying that agencies don't have the basically obligation to have to give it to other agencies, and I respect that. However, that's comparing a large city to a town of 5,600. Operations are completely different, so we all know that. And again, there was already shown, there had been shown that the town had operated, that they would give it to other agencies. So I respectfully request that all agencies fulfill the request of FOIA that I had submitted based on how they operated prior. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
And I'm sorry, Commissioner.
Yes, go
ahead. Just there was at one point to at least the SBC communications between Erica and to that commission that they were going to have to get prepared to fulfill my FOIA request. So she had already shown that she was notifying other agencies.
Yeah,
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter. Just because things are forwarded to another department does not relieve the caption being to the person that's at the front of the town, chief elected official. So I think in this case, it sounds like based on But the hearing officer found that really the only the complaint should be just the first select board, the first selectman and the select board in the town of Wellington, not necessarily these other respondents that were removed in order one. So I support the hearing officer's report.
Any further questions or comments from the commissioners?
May I just respond? I understand, you know, I understand there's three sides to every story, right? But because there had been action already taken to notify at least the SPC, I would respectfully request at the very minimum that they would fulfill. Absolutely, I would want everything, but that communication had already happened, so.
I'm not an attorney. I have a municipal background. So I've been a mayor of a town.
Okay.
I've been a town manager, a town administrator. So I'm taking it from the point that I'm usually the one that's the point, and that the department's under me. You know, if I'm reprimanded by the Freedom of Information, it really it falls on my shoulders. And, you know, if I do look for other departments for additional information, not necessarily if they don't respond to me, you know, then I'm still the one that's, you know,
I respect that take.
Cool, very true. And the buck stops here in a way. So I just wanted to explain to you that, from my perspective, why I made those comments.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Stuart. Thank you. And I'll note for the record that we were joined on this hearing by Commissioner Gansman. So I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll. Commissioner Streeter, I'll move adoption of the hearing.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
The motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call on those in favor. Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsman?
Yes.
Mr. Gansman?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously.
Thank you, sir. Sir.
Thank you.
Going to FIC 2023-0169. Addie Gordon and Anita Arakelian versus Superintendent of Schools, West Berkeley Public Schools et al. And I'm going to recuse myself because the complaint is asked that I recuse myself. Thank you.
I'm Commissioner John Einhorn. We'll conduct this hearing. I see the parties are forward who intend to speak. So the case is Addie Lordone and Anita Arakelian versus Superintendent of Schools West Hartford et al. Because the hearing officer's report recommends dismissal of the complaint, we'll hear Addie Lordone and Anita Arakelian first. You can decide which one of you wants to do.
Mr. Chairman, just acting here, just for the record, if they can just announce who they all are.
Pardon me. Oh, please, thank you.
Addie Lordan, complainant.
And Julie Resnick, attorney for the respondents.
I'm not going to go over every detail of what's been submitted. There's quite a bit of paperwork, but there are some key points that I would like to address. The belief is that obviously the board has read all the evidence that has been presented from both sides and has looked at the totality of the evidence in the case, rather than solely relying on the hearing officer's findings and recommendations. Complainants maintain that the respondents have not fulfilled their obligation under the Freedom of Information Act in providing all responsive records in a prompt manner, as is part of their primary duties. The complainants, therefore, do not believe that a good faith effort has been made and has not been met. And we, in fact, reject the hearing officer's findings and recommendation to reject the complainant's case against the respondents for non-compliance regarding complainant requests for records in the public's interest. The hearing officer has had the complainant's brief responding to her findings in her possession for over a week and has not answered complainant's questions regarding the deficiencies and omissions in the hearing officer's final report. This includes an egregious statement that complainants made allegations of respondents falsifying a document. No such statement was made by either complainant. It is 100% a prejudicial statement and not and on part of the hearing officer. And the complainants asked that hearing officer Harmon answer the questions regarding this prejudicial statement and other deficiencies and omissions in her findings under oath.
Yes, just so we have a sense of what's going on. From January 23rd, this is all we received until the first hearing. Between January to November, this is what you can all see is what we've received. And this is thereafter, starting February 8th, we've been receiving non-responsive documents to the point that we sent it back and we said these are not responsive. We've put the case forward in motions. We've put the case forward in a closing argument, which we felt was testimony. And we put the case forward, as Ms. Lorden said, in the reply brief. So there are a lot of questions that are raised for which we're asking for evidence for why these statements are made from the hearing officer. And I think section, well, if you want the code, I can give it, but I think everyone knows. Our job was to make sure that we've presented everything to you. We are here and we will answer whatever questions you have. But we did put it in writing so you would have it ahead of time, and we are willing to answer all questions.
Thank you.
Sure, thank you very much. So respondents respectfully request that the commissioners adopt this decision in full, which concluded that there was no violation of the FOI regarding disclosure or promptness requirements. As the hearing officer appropriately characterized, responding to this request has been and continues to be a Herculean task to the district. In summary, the request seeks supporting financial documentation for 13 of the different general ledger accounts, which are different categories such as cafeteria, transportation, and a variety of other ledgers over 2.5 fiscal years. And this amounts to over almost 53,000 transactions, not records, but transactions. And I'm not going to address all the different allegations that are made in the brief that was submitted. I'm happy to answer any particular questions the commissioners may have about those representations to the extent that I can answer them. But respondents do dispute the allegations that are made in that post-hearing brief. The district has worked diligently to provide records on a rolling basis to the complainants between the time they filed the FOI request in February and through the second hearing date in November. Respondents testified that responding to this has been made much more difficult by the fact that none of these records are digitized, and so that requires them to go through banker's boxes and for each individual transaction to seek out the responsive records for each individual transaction. And there's also, as you'll see in the hearing officer's report, there was a variety of year-end and budget deadlines during this time frame at which they were responding to the request, and there have been several batches of responsive records that have been disclosed to the complainants. And I did want to add that there is some new evidence that was not presented before the hearing officer that's folded into the post-hearing brief, and some of which was presented today that the respondents would object to because that was not before the hearing officer, and dispute that any records that were not responsive have been provided since the hearing date. In closing, the district has made tremendous efforts, which we appreciate that the hearing officer recognized in this case through the decision, and we think that there's no reason to modify the decision as all factual and legal conclusions were supported by the evidence and testimony that were presented. And so we just ask that the commissioners adopt the hearing officer's report in full.
Thank you, Councillor. Any questions from the commission?
Commissioner Hankins, just a couple of questions, Attorney Resnick.
Sure.
In paragraph 11, the hearing officer found that approximately 59,906 transactions were conducted by the respondents. Does that mean, since it's not digitized, that somebody or someone or some people from employees of the town of West Hartford went through these boxes and looked at least 59,000?
So this, I'm sorry, I did not mean to confuse you. So this request is still in process. There have been numerous productions that have been made, but there are a limited number of staff people who have to manually go through different bankers' boxes and find the responsive records, unstaple them, photocopy them, send them to their council to make the redactions, because there are a lot of student names that are riddled throughout these records, at least that have been produced thus far. And so it is a very tedious process that involves, you know, a few people who are able to go through these physical copies and find them and make the appropriate redactions.
But the hearing officer found that this happened at least 59,000 times.
In order to fulfill the request in its entirety?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And paragraphs 13 and 14, it states that the respondents, you know, found responsive records, hard copies, and they forward these hard copies at no cost to the complainants, correct?
Correct.
And it looks like, from what the complainants pointed out, there's a transparent bin about 9 inches of documents, roughly, if you stack them up.
Sure. I mean, I have not seen the documents
before,
but
I'm eyeballing it. And measure three times, cut twice or something. But it looks there's like a pile about 9 inches high. So there's several hundred documents, hard copy documents that were forwarded at no cost to the complainants?
Yes, there was testimony at the hearing that over 900 documents had been produced thus far, and so those were provided in hard copy.
So over 900. Okay. So if the statutory cost is 50 cents a page, it's about $450. You did not charge the complainants that theoretically you could have charged them?
I would have to look back at the testimony.
Sure.
In terms of, you know, what testimony there had been about.
Yeah.
No cost, but from what I can recall, it's hard copy records that have been provided to me.
It's paragraphs 13 and 14 say no cost. So from my English, it means that you didn't charge them. And I take it West Hartford could charge if it wanted to, correct? About 50 cents a page, statutory cost?
It could charge if it wanted to, that's
right.
Correct.
But in this case, it didn't.
From where I stand today, I would have to listen back to the testimony with regard to the cost aspect of it.
Okay.
Because I just don't recall that particular piece at this moment in time. But what I can tell you is that, yes, the hard copy records were provided.
Okay. So if that's what the hearing officer said at no cost, do you trust what she said?
I'm asking the commission to adopt the hearing officer's report in full. So
fine. Okay. Fine. I won't drag the dead horse out of the barn and beat it.
He's just practicing his cross examination.
Yeah, I'm out of practice. Okay. Thank you. That's fine.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Anyone else? Yes.
So this is Commissioner Gouldsby, and this is for the complainants. I mean, do you not find I'm looking at your documents and some of the would appear to be, you know, pretty strong accusations. Do you not find some of what you're stating to be a little overly burdensome? 59,000 documents or transactions plus the manual labor. I wasn't in the hearing. I'm not necessarily
you. First of all, can I just say, it's not 59,000 transactions. By witness Hewitt's own testimony, it's 52,000 transactions.
Okay, hold on, because respectfully, I was speaking and you interrupted me, so there's a decorum in this room, so I need you to follow that.
No, sir.
Thank you. What I'm saying is, this seems a bit excessive in the moment, and so I want to know from you, what do you want out of today? Because we have a very cogent, well-written, and I believe very well-done hearing officer's report. And so what is it that you want? Because what it sounded like you said in your statements is something that I'm not sure we can even do for you. So can you give me specifics of what it is that you're looking for today? Because some of the objections that you've stated, they seem more like accusations. What we can do today is look at the hearing officer's report, and if you can tell me a specific paragraph number and give me some reasoning as to why we should strike it and why it should be changed, then we can hear you. But other than that, I'm not sure what we'll be able to do for you. So I just want to streamline that.
Well, so we'll start with, we stated that we said that respondents falsified a record. We never made that statement. We never implied it. That's very prejudicial. So anything there. What we had said was there was July 28th as part of their exhibits that they had sent records. All we said is we didn't get these, we didn't get this letter, and we didn't get any whatever records were attached. That's not making a statement of a falsified record. We just were stating we didn't receive it. Second of all, there's a what they call intellectual dishonesty, and I'm going to go 40 years ago to as a Bryn Mawr College grad student, I took course. Then you would know we can take Wharton Business School of classes, which I did. I am a Philadelphian, so I also, for a constitutional law class in 11th grade, I actually had to use their library because my teacher was a Penn teacher. The intellectual dishonesty here is it's not 59,000 transactions. One bill has a group of transactions. That's one bill and one payment. In fact, some payments, so you have one sheet of payment, and you might have three or four invoices against that. You may not even have an agreement. So those numbers are off. The correct number, if you notice, was very early on when Attorney Luture said it's over 300 records. Now, the definition that we have brought forth, if you read towards the end, is the statute says records or files. It doesn't say transactions. So how is accounting information stored? Well, they keep talking boxes. No, there was only 1 year of boxes, and that was testified to. There was about a year and a half, which was in, it's available in the office. And how do we store the records? Very simple. The respondent testified, by year, you go to the year, transportation. For example, this is transportation. This is only transportation for a few, for only like 1 or 2 months. So you pull up the transportation, that's your accounting ledger. They have divided it in different ways. So there's an internal accounting methodology. That's not what we asked for. That's not responsive. We made it very clear. It's what the external, the provider of goods and service, you will see invoices of providers and goods and services. So you just go in, provider. And I can, for the ones that I've gotten, I can tell you, for example, transportation only has two major ones. Of the two major ones, over about 80% of those two major ones is for just general everyday, bus routes. There is no redacting of names. There's only one carrier that's a very limited amount, and it's more towards special ed. So, counsel even wrote in her brief that in transportation, every single bill had to be redacted. That was incorrect. So therefore, what we're bringing forth is there's an intellectual dishonesty here. If you think about how accounting records are stored, yes, even to today, most records are still stored manually. Why? This is a public agency that has to, if anything ever happens to the digital, you need to be able to get to the paper. Well, you have police stations coming here. They have theirs in paper. We haven't seen stapling, unstapling, copying, and work effort. But this is part of the process. So what we're saying is there are records. We like the records. We want them by March 24th. There's a letter there that we compared published reports. When I say published reports, end of year statements, statements that they've sent to government. That doesn't match the accounting ledger information that we received. We are just double checking. One of the questions that was raised that alerted us is, suppose we have a pen. Pen is worth $10. We ask for the record. We get the receipt. But then you look for the item. It's not there. Why? Because they returned the $10 item. They returned, but they never gave us the return receipt. So these discrepancies exist. We have a right. And the reason why there's no cost is because we asked for the cost to be removed because in the public interest, and that is an exemption to cost. And we've already established it, and we asked for it. And you will not find it in the testimony because this was done ahead of time. So that's the cost. And I remember, and it's a good question you asked, because I know that your commission faced the appellate court in the case against Greenwich. And the appellate judge asked the Freedom of Commission counsel, under what statute are you allowed to order the respondents to provide records free of cost? He asked it twice. The person who did answer it, that attorney was attorney Meredith Braxton, who was for the complainant. So there is a leeway for that, and there is statutory that on your end you're allowed to rule that order, but on our end, because we're doing it in the public interest and we do bring it up at Board of Education meetings, here are discrepancies. Please look into it. And all we're saying is, please solve it. That's all we're asking. There's these discrepancies. Solve it. I don't think we're doing anything. So we have a right to these records. There is a budget that's coming up. We asked a year ago, and we asked from January 23rd, and you will see every record that they have provided to us in terms of response is dating January 23rd. Yet that does not show in the report. So that's something to be considered. Now, if you're asking, well, why wouldn't they have filed the complaint? Because we refiled it February 27th. Well, some of you recognize our faces. We know we've been here before. We know the process. We know your time is limited. We didn't want to come back. That's why we refiled. Do you know when the first true response came? When we had them sign the paper. We are in receipt. What the City of Bridgeport versus Freedom of Commission? What did the appellate court state? It doesn't matter what the date of the request is. It's the date that the respondents received it. Our original was handed over September 26th. It was dropped off, but we have no record that the actual respondent received it. Then we submitted it January 23rd. There is an acknowledgement. We wait. Then we refile it so we can avoid being here. This is our time, too. These are our resources as well. And this is not our primary duty, but our primary duty is to ensure that our children, as they're going forward in education, and I do have education in my background, not myself personally, but one of my uncles was president of Brown University, and he was provost at the University of Pennsylvania, which is why from Europe we came to Philadelphia. He's the one who said, come, this is a great city, and we ended up in mainline Philadelphia. For these reasons, we ask, violation, because they have not this. I mean, would you even allow this for a police station in which most of it was not redacted? That's a question. And the candor, there's lack of candor. That's why we're asking for the civil penalty, the most minimum you can give. So the next time respondents come, they come in with candor. They come in and say, you know what? Just like we said, I know that I can prove this, and I'm going to stand on the evidence that I have. And as a Bryn Mawr, you would know, in order to graduate, I was a Romance language major. In order to graduate, I had to write a 40-page paper in Spanish and defend it in Spanish with native speakers. I wrote and for Romance meant French, I wrote a 15-page paper. Do you know what my professor did to me? She took a 4.0 out of a 4.0 paper and she slashed it down to a 3.7. Do you know what her response was? You made too many grammatical errors for a senior. French was my fifth language, Spanish my fourth. So when we're coming here, we're coming in strong. And I do take offense that a hearing officer would say that we stated a falsified record. That is false. And respondent attorney counsel here said, well, we were within from February 27th to November 8th. No, you are required to follow the law completely, not until November 8th. Again, I repeat, when did we start getting
the non-responsive documents. And we said it, and we said it, and we said it, and we finally sent it back. And we're saying, we're not taking possession. Buyer beware, we're not taking possession. For all these reasons, they deserve a violation, and they deserve the penalty. They deserve the penalty because of lack of candor to the tribunal. And my parents chose to come to America, and I'm going to tell you why.
I don't think this is far afield of any response to a question. It's something that's been going on for pretty long. I have some comments that maybe, but I don't know if you want to reel it in or not.
Is there anything, Jermaine, you'd like to add at this point?
Yes. When each of you answer, could you let us know whether you read all of our reports and all of the information?
We customarily don't do that, but thank you.
Okay.
Is there any other comments from the commission? Any questions? Yes, sir.
Commissioner Einhorn, Matt Streeter, Commissioner. So on the point of the hearing officer report for promptness, I think it's a very well written and understood hearing officer's report. Just based on the comments that have been made by the complainant, instead of like making a request for an item and then coming back and drilling down, it seems like they've taken a more of a shotgun approach here. They're requesting over 4 fiscal years, 8 sub items of 13 general ledger accounts, and to their own, they say it is more than 50,000 documents. As far as a promptness, we've seen other ones that you're getting, I am talking now.
I apologize, but it was 300 records, not 52,906.
I am going by the hearing officer's report, and I cannot believe that it's only that much, because it's a city the size of West Hartford, and you're looking for all journal entry, all records of financial detail, including but not limited to A, journal entries, B, quotes, C, purchase orders, D, statements from providers for goods and services, E, paid receipts, F, financial agreements between the West Hartford Public Schools and providers of goods and services, and bank statements, end of year encumbrances. Instead of just going to year-end encumbrances and drilling down, you're asking for all this for not just one fiscal year, but for basically 4 fiscal years, and not only for one general ledger account, but across 13 accounts. The fact now, this is a request that probably would take 2 or 3 years to respond to, and I would definitely say, if it took 3 or 4 years, it would still be prompt, because based on the promptness position statute, they have the right to take their time to get this information for you. You asked for an incredible amount of information, and then you come here and you're blaming everybody, and basically I take offense to the fact that you're denigrating the hearing officer, talking about lack of candor. I'm seeing this from the from the complainants. They're almost using the freedom of information for their own personal gain to, I would say call it weaponizing the Freedom of Information Act. I think I praise the West Hartford Public Schools for doing this. If this was the state of Massachusetts, they would be paying for every document. And in some instances, they'd be paying for all the time to research these documents. This is a mammoth undertaking. And to hear you say that you're sending documents back based on your judgment that it's non-responsive, when you yourselves asked for all this information amongst all these accounts for all these fiscal years, I find that disingenuous on your account. And there would be no way that I would, even if you had asked for a civil penalty, that it would even be warranted. But I agree with the hearing officer. This should be dismissed. And if I were this town of West Hartford, I would stop researching this. I would say that let this lie. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Anyone else on the commission wish to ask any questions? Anyone else?
Commissioner Einhorn, if I could just say a few words, just a couple things.
So
Felicia Harmon, I was the hearing officer in this case. I'm not going to comment
on what's in the report. I stand by the report and by all the allegations that I addressed. I listened to the tape twice as I was writing it. So generally, I understand that when complainants come to a contested case hearing, they're not satisfied with some aspect of their request. I understand that. But I want the commission to know that the director of finance and planning for West Hartford Public Schools came to two contested case hearings that lasted approximately 5 hours. She spent the better part of 4 hours testifying and being subject to cross-examination. I understand that the complainants in this case were not pleased with how the processing, how fast the processing was going. But even with all that in mind, in the hearing room, there has to be a level of decorum that is maintained with regard to the respondent's witness and the hearing officer. You have to be respectful in that room, even if you're unhappy with how your request, you know, to date has been processed. The complainants in this case were unnecessarily argumentative. Even if I was trying to help them understand our process, they argued with me. They were very disrespectful to the director of finance and planning, and she endured a long and painful cross-examination. In going into that first hearing, I had a request that was dated September 26, 2022, and it was reissued a couple times. There had been no complaint filed when it was originally delivered to the West Hartford Public Schools. So I couldn't see jurisdiction when I went into that first hearing because I had a complaint filed March 24th, 2023. I will not swear in anyone until I can see jurisdiction. So trying to tell the complainants, you know, you reissued it and you want me to see this chronology, I would suggest in the future that you just redate it. So that I can say, okay, there was a request in September 26, 2022. It was reissued maybe in November 2022. That it was, so I can see when I come in that I have a request within 30 days of a complaint. In their post-hearing brief, they took issue with my trying to be helpful to them, that I wasted time trying to find jurisdiction, which I feel I have to do. And they argued that they took issue with the hearing officer's statement, and that my statement with regard to redating the request has shortcomings. This is what they say. Our concern and forethought each time we wrote a cover letter to our original September 26, 2022 dated request was that if we were to redate the request, then the life of our request would be lost. Inherent in the hearing officer's recommendation of redating creates a situation of rebirth. Rebirth is an impossibility when it comes to mankind. So it should be for the history of an FOI request. I was just trying to help them help me so that I wouldn't be wasting time trying to find jurisdiction next time. There was also an issue that this was not my case. One of my colleagues was ill, so I volunteered to be reassigned as the hearing officer. So when I got the file, there were no exhibits printed off in the file. So when I came into the hearing room, I informed the complainants that, you know, I didn't have any exhibits at the moment in the file. I don't know what happened. But irregardless, under our notice of hearing, in order to show cause, everybody's responsible to bring 3 copies of the exhibits to the hearing. They argued with me about that. They argued with me about the fact that they needed to bring the exhibits to the hearing and that those exhibits were not evidence unless and until I marked them. At every instance during the hearing, with me and with the director of finance, I found that decorum was lacking. I was very careful with this report, and I stand by it in every way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions from the commission? Any commissioner wish to ask anything? All right, I'll entertain a motion then if that's a day full of discussion. No discussion? All right, I'll entertain a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Is there a second?
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Any further discussion? All right, I'm going to call the roll. Commissioner Parrish?
Yes.
Commissioner Possession?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Gonsmer?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, John Einhorn, yes. Ranking Member Passy is approved unanimously. Thank you all. Thank you for coming.
We'll take a brief recess,
so we can grab one back. Maybe just 2 minutes. We just need to find him.
Yeah, I don't want to leave him alone.
I think he'd like to come back.
All right.
Bye.